Refugees and asylum seekers have been trying to cross to the European Union from Belarus since at least mid-2021. Lithuania's latest move to fight crossings from Belarus is to make pushbacks legal. On April 25th, the parliament passed legislation to make it legal to deny entry to asylum seekers. We know the country had been engaged in pushbacks since at least end of 2021, when thousands of migrants and refugees, mainly from the Middle East and Africa, were trying to cross to the European Union via Lithuania, Latvia and Poland. Many human rights organizations, as well as the European Court of Justice, highlighted the pushbacks are an illegal procedure that violates international law. We will discuss this issue today with Dalia Krapawickaite, who represents one of those organizations called Sienos Grupy, and who petitioned the president of Lithuania to veto the law. Dalia, thank you very much for finding time to joining us on Fractured. Before we go into the law we're going to discuss today, I would first like to ask you about the situation at the border right now. So how does the crisis at the Lithuanian-Belarusian border look like right now? When did it start? How many people came so far? So what is the gravity of this crisis?
Yes, thank you, Sonia, for having me here. The crisis has started a little bit longer ago than our volunteer group, Sienos Group, has been founded, so almost 2 years ago. And since then, I think a few thousand migrants have crossed the border, but the issue is that it is very difficult to evaluate the real numbers, because while the authorities claim that there have been around 20,000 pushbacks, the pushbacks are actually the only measurement which is used to measure the crossings, but not individual cases, which means one person might have crossed the border there and back 10 times, but we don't know how many people did that, and the real number is impossible to evaluate. Right now, we are also struggling to tell how many people are crossing. We are quite aware that there are still crossings happening, and that they are happening both at the Belarusian-Poland border, Belarusian-Lithuanian, and there's more people coming to Belarusian-Latvian border recently. However, Lithuania, for example, completed the physical barrier, the wall between Belarus and Lithuania. They completed it this last December. So there is a fence, which is a physical wire fence. However, the Belarusian border guards, when they do, they have these migrants come. They push them to non-designated border areas, non-designated crossing areas. And sometimes they just bring these huge scissors and cut the border with those scissors and push the people through. And when they are pushed back from Lithuanian side, often the Lithuanian border guards, they use these specific doors, which are usually made for animals to cross. So there are doors in this wall. They open those doors and let the migrants through back to Belarus through those doors, which are usually for animals to cross. In some cases, we also heard interesting stories about migrants finding pipes that allow them to cross under the fence. For example, in swamps or where there is a river on the border, there is no physical fence, and then people cross through that. However, we've also received some videos which are difficult to locate, but people in those videos, for example, this winter were frozen in small river that seems to be on the border. So that also happens. I think this has happened also somewhere on the Hungarian border where people are pushed through the river. So this is the current situation.
It's really interesting what you're saying. And of course, everybody knows that Belarusian guards are taking part in pushing people through the border, but I haven't heard before that they are themselves physically cutting the fence to push people through the border. Still, I assume some people manage to cross. If they manage to cross and they find themselves on the Lithuanian side, what is happening to them then? Where are they taken?
It depends if they are found by Lithuanian border guards or police or if they're not. Often these groups would contact us as a humanitarian aid organization, and as they spend some time in the forest, sometimes up to 10 days, they run out of food and water, they cannot, you know, clean themselves, and we bring, you know, clean clothes. Because even in summer, I've seen people in hot weather, like in 25, 30 degrees Celsius, being with, you know, 3-4 layers only because the clothes are dirty and they feel cold all the time. So we bring them food and water, and then usually they're taken by either by smugglers or they try to find a way to get asylum here in Lithuania. In some cases, we have used the European Human Rights Court, their help to get interim decision, which provides temporary protection for people. So with that decision, which comes after application and after these people sign the papers, then we would send them to the court. And then in 24, maybe a little bit more hours, the decision comes that these people cannot be pushed back. So the document saves them, and then usually they're able to apply for asylum. We have one famous situation where Cuban citizens have had arrived to Lithuania, and we got this court decision. However, we were not there to witness when the border guards came again to push back these Cubans. And even though they had the interim decision, they were still pushed back. And after that pushback, they again came back to Lithuania from Belarus. And finally, we found them, some members of our group found them and made sure that they're able to submit their asylum applications. And now they were granted asylum in Lithuania. So this is also a proof that while the government would claim that individual circumstances are evaluated by the border guards, it is physically impossible, and they are just, the decisions are made on a collective basis and by no clear standards, and the border guards have no competences to evaluate.
I see so many similarities with the situation at the Belarusian-Polish border. As you're saying right now, I see that people are being pushed back even when they are already taken by the border guards. It doesn't matter if they are in the headquarters of the border guards, they can still be pushed back from there. And this is what is happening at the Polish-Belarusian border as well.
Yes, I think that even when there was even some cases where people would be taken to a hospital because they could not walk anymore. And then from the hospital, after they recover, they would be pushed back again out of the country. We have been in touch and in close cooperation with our Polish counterparts. And we do also observe, as you say, very similar trends between the behavior of the border guards.
Exactly. I wanted to say that you're basically the counterpart. You have your counterparts on the Polish side. Grupa Granica is working very actively there. Their activity is being criminalized by the Polish government. At least the government is trying to criminalize that. But we have some court decisions denying that. So I wanted to ask you about your situation right now in Lithuania. Are you able to bring humanitarian aid to people, or do you have to work a little bit on the side?
We always had to work a little bit on the side, actually. By the way, with Grupa Granica, they were founded a little bit earlier than our group. And our group in Lithuanian, Sienos Grupe, is literally the translation of Grupa Granica, which is border group. There have been already two instances in which certain members of the group had been persecuted in a way. It has not been very fatal, but or very serious, but it is, as we perceive it, a scaring technique, which is quite common. This happened in 2021, December. I think almost likely both cases. So one of them was more serious, which was pre-trial investigations were carried on into the activities of certain members. The other one was simply administrative fines. So the fines were appealed And that decision was taken that those fines were not fair. And even the court expenditures, they were reimbursed for the group, for the, our organization. And the, regarding pretrial investigation, what happened was that a few members, together actually with that, with one journalist and, if I'm not mistaken, one member of, yeah, I think it was only one person from Doctors Without Borders. They were all standing and waiting until the border guards come to take care of migrants together. And they were all eventually investigated. Well, the situation is that during the investigation, some interesting questions were asked, such as, do you like Lithuania? Do you support the government? And similar, and they were blamed for smuggling activity. That is very usual for, I think, humanitarian workers in this topic. And also, if, for example, volunteers go to access the border, they are already prepared, and we are constantly preparing ourselves for interaction with police or border guards. For example, last Saturday, actually, we had a training on what are the legal means that we can take, what is legal, what is illegal, and how we can answer to police when they stop us. For example, the fact is that we don't really have to provide information on where we are going and what we are going to do. And those are some things that we've always tried to, you know, go with. And like, we used to even get mushroom picking licenses, so that in autumn, when the police stops you somewhere around the border, you're like, oh, this is a national park and there's this forest. I'm going mushroom picking and that's it, you know. Or sometimes you know certain landmarks and you're like, I'm going to visit that area. There's a hike there. And or I have Olena, who lives right there in the house near the border, and I'm going to visit her. So these kind of things, but this might change after this law, which will restrict our access to the border.
I'm smiling, but it is actually very sad what people have to do to provide humanitarian aid, basic needs, basically. So it's really sad. You mentioned that the government is basically very openly publishing the information about the pushbacks, how many people they pushed back. I believe they're probably calling it stopping illegal crossings, something like this, like they do in Poland. Is it known for a very long time that the pushbacks are happening in Lithuania?
Yes, since the very beginning, it's very known. And I think they are presenting it as a measures against this hybrid war. But, you know, we as a humanitarian organization, we reject the notion that, you know, you can go along with the Belarusian government and with the Russian government and call people weapons, as, you know, they are victims in this situation. And we see, you know, we don't discriminate depending on where you come from and what is your situation. We just put the life of a human first. And I think that's what the state should do. And I think that's generally what Human Rights Declaration stands for. And the state should generally provide protection for human security. And for example, I think it would be way more important that the government would take better care of imposing sanctions in practice that they have claimed in theory, that still, you know, are not fully implemented currently against the Belarusian, against Russian government, and the whole EU could be lobbied more to do that, rather than use these people who are also same victims as you know, the method of pretending that we are now defending ourselves.
Exactly. Let's go now towards the law. What does it specifically say? What does the amendment to this law say that makes pushbacks legal?
So, firstly, the pushbacks became a common practice because the Minister of Interior signed a specific order And that kind of order is usually renewed every year. And the responsibility goes to the Minister of Interior. Now, very similar law amendments to this order, with certain improvements, have been presented to the Parliament. And in fact, both Parliament has accepted it, and the President did not veto it, and he signed it. And what law does is that it denotes a 5-kilometer border line. So once you enter from Belarus to Lithuania, there's this 5 kilometers border zone in which foreigners may be pushed back. The law claims that the individual circumstances of a person and needs for asylum will be evaluated. However, from our practice, as I already mentioned, this is not possible. And we also remind both our lawmakers and the society that there were 2 officially confirmed deaths on the border due to bad evaluation of individual conditions. And if I'm not mistaken, 5 people got their limbs amputated due to frostbite. So this is one thing. Another thing is that this law also requires permits for people to enter, even citizens to enter those border zones of 5 kilometers. And among those who can get the permits, we do not see human rights observers. We do not see human rights monitoring organizations. And thus, we are concerned that it will be difficult for us to access and to independently monitor the situation at the border. And finally, there's this Border Guard Supporter Institute that is established, which means volunteers can come join border guards, and they will be granted this ability to use force against migrants. And that we also see problematic, because first of all, if a person should work as a border guard, why are they not paid to work as a border guard? And secondly, if they're not paid, then what kind of people do we expect to come there? We are just concerned that people who simply want to use violence against people that come through this border, which is usually people of other races and cultures, those people are going to be simply far-right radicals. And that's going to empower them and allow them to use this. Yeah, and I have to also mention that this 5-kilometer border zone, in the pushbacks are legal in cases of extreme state. But at this point, this extreme state has become already kind of the regular state in Lithuania.
This is actually very worrying, because this is what was happening also in Poland, that the state of emergency at that time was prolonged and prolonged and prolonged. And the second thing is that the border guards, they are very specific people usually. We saw them at the Hungarian-Serbian border. We saw them also at the border with Croatia. They were much more brutal than regular border guards. Because as you said, those are people who are not qualified to do this job. And those are people who are usually radical. And they have this notion in their head that they are protecting their homeland. So whatever it takes to actually do this, right? And they are convinced that people who are seeking humanitarian aid at the border are a real threat to the security of their country. So this is something that really worries me. And we'll be monitoring closely how this whole situation will evolve. I wanted to ask you also, so you mentioned that the law has been voted and that the president already signed it. He didn't veto it.
No, we were expecting him to veto. We were also following president's schedule, in fact. And therefore, we organized a protest 3 days after the law was accepted by the parliament. However, even though he was going to Germany, maybe he even signed it with an e-signature. We're not sure, but either way, it seems that he already signed it. And it's maybe sad, but at the same time, we were not very surprised, as we already heard that for our current president, human rights question overall, it's not a very interesting topic.
Wow, that's really sad, actually, for both sides. I want to ask you about the international standards regarding pushbacks. We all know that it is an illegal practice. We know that you also guys appealed to the European court to get those people who are trying to claim asylum back and allow actually asylum to be claimed by them. What are the international standards when it comes to pushbacks and border situation?
Yes. So first of all, I think that generally it's important to say that there is no accepted EU standard, for example, but Council of Europe has many times said that pushbacks are obviously illegal. And also in our case, also the Commissioner for Human Rights again made a statement which claims the same thing, that this pushback legalization and the law that would pass in Lithuania before it passed, that it is not something to be supported, and that this brings Lithuania towards the example of Hungary, which so far, to my knowledge, is the only country that has accepted a similar law. So I think that is from European side. Generally, the situation in which a migrant ends up while they're in the situation of a pushback, similarly to actually what is the situation in the asylum seeking centers or refugee centers that we have, is often comparable to condition of torture, which again is in the Human Rights Declaration. Also it's well, as you can read also online, I think what is relevant is the Refugee Convention, are the Global Compacts and Sustainable Development Goals that also would call for regular, orderly, safe migration that is completely disregarded in instances of pushbacks. And also I see EU Charter of Fundamental Rights, European Convention of Human Rights. So almost any international document that is out there regarding human rights or regarding migration would eventually say that pushback practice is not a good standard. It's not something to be followed. However, it seems like a lot of European countries are walking towards that direction and moving towards securitization.
Exactly. It's all about securing border. It's all about using this argument instead of the argument towards humanitarian aid. Wrapping up the discussion, I wanted to ask you, how is the Lithuanian society about this law? Does it polarize the society just as much as it does in Poland? In Poland, it is very, very clear that you are either pro refugees and try to help and somehow cooperate, or you support the government in what they're doing. Is this the situation in Lithuania as well?
I think it is very similar. The society overall is supporting the government, I think, partly because of already strong propaganda for a long, long time. Not necessarily you can call it propaganda, but it kind of is in the end of the day, as the migrants are usually called economic migrants, and it is very difficult in practice to actually draw the line between an economic migrant and non-economic migrant. How do you even evaluate those circumstances? Then again, there is lack of knowledge of what are the political conditions in those countries where the people come from. So people in general, public, they just assume things without having proper information, and they judge these people. They're also afraid because generally we have a very homogeneous society. We sometimes tend to claim that we're multicultural, but for anyone who comes to visit, we are very, very homogenous, and it is difficult to understand different religions or different customs. And in practice, when people have to deal with it and see to speak to a person of a different culture who's used to different ways of working, ways of getting paid, or ways of generally eating different food, then there's, you know, this daily conflict that arises. And for people, it's probably too difficult to actually take time to understand those differences. So I think overall, the society simply lacks education. And this push from the government that happens through the media to even more securitize the borders and emphasize the threat that is indeed there, and we are aware of it, but it is not in these people. So this act of pushing this agenda is not making it any easier. I think also the society is confused, because we were always the country that is either transit country or the country from which people go away abroad. And now this is the first time in Lithuanian history that we in certain cases become the destination country for people on the move. And this is very confusing, and people are afraid that they're going to get, I don't know, social money, and that our budget is going to go for these migrants who are actually not getting almost any care. And everybody's afraid that all the benefits are going to go to them. And, you know, the poor Lithuanians who cannot take care of their survival, they're going to be even worse off. But that does not correspond to the reality. The poor Lithuanians have way more chances and opportunity, and the migrants are not given these chances. They are not given the opportunity to get paid properly when they work. They do not get proper health care. They cannot open a bank account. I mean, there's numerous issues, and they cannot even safely arrive to the country. They're misinformed on the traveling situation. So I think the society is just not ready, not informed, and the government direction is not helping that.
Thank you very much, Dalia, for explaining this issue to us today. The guest of Fracture today was Dalia Krapawicka-Itam, who works with Sienos Grupa, who are trying to bring humanitarian aid to the Lithuanian-Belarusian border. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening to Fractured. Our podcast is produced by Refocus Media Lab's citizen journalists from Afghanistan, Iran, Ukraine, and many other countries. It is partly financed by Alliance Foundation and Choose Love. However, it is thanks to donations from individual people like you that we can continue our mission of teaching media skills to refugees and asylum seekers and give them a platform to showcase their work. So if you value this podcast and our work, please support us on refocusmedialabs.org/donate.